there are so many things happening that are dangerous to the dollar that at some point it's going to be obvious to everybody. China just sold $53 billion in treasuries, and they've been unloading treasuries for 2 years. And either in the G7, I think it was G7 or the peace conference in Switzerland, the United States agreed to allow the EU to steal $50 billion in interest on the holdings of Russia. And candidly, that's stealing, okay? I don't care how you term it. I don't care why you term it. That's stealing. And to steal $300 billion in total, and then the interest from that to feed the military-industrial complex and the most corrupt country in Europe, Ukraine, is absolutely bizarre to me. So the United States has just said, we're going to steal from you if we can get away with it. Now, I'll give you one better because I don't care how current you are.
Bob Moriarty, how's it going?
I wish I could be Rip Van Winkle.
Like me, right?
I would like to go to sleep and wake up in 5 years.
I'm the same way because we have so much stuff going on, so much stuff hitting or about to hit or could hit, and I don't know what to make out of it. And so that's why I wanted to have you on and to get your thoughts. Let's start with the banking sector. We talked about a lot of different things last time we spoke, but one of the big key things we talked about was how that was hitting right now, if you would, illiquidity and banking seize up, especially in the commercial and residential real estate markets. Where are we at with that?
Well, since we've talked, there was a very interesting report coming out of Japan, the fifth largest bank. And I would not like to insult myself by trying to pronounce it because there's no way I could do that. But the fifth largest bank in Japan publicly announced that they were going to sell $63 billion worth of government bonds between now and March. And that was a bizarre thing to say because, first of all, it's going to make every other bank in Japan front run them. And second of all,
right,
we're getting a big hit in the interest rates and inflation in the United States. That is pulling the plug on the cesspool, and it is going to get ugly. We know the U.S. banks are hundreds of billions of dollars in losses, but they've been able to hide it with the term loan facility from the Fed. So the Fed says, look, if you got $100 million worth of bonds that are only worth $60 million now, we will pretend it's really worth $100 million and we'll front run you the money. Well, that's all well and good, but it doesn't change the fact that when interest rates rise as fast as they did in the last 2 years, somebody's going to get hurt severely. So In March of last year, when they had three or four banks crash at the same time, the Fed stepped in and backstopped the banks in the United States. But these guys are all sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars in losses that they're going to have to take at some point. Well, they don't have that situation in Japan, and Japan actually has to write off their losses. So this literally is the start of flushing the toilet. There are 360 or something like that banks in the United States are underwater, and at some point they're going to go under.
I guess that has two different implications that I see. Number one is, it seems like, again, as we talked about previously, that the Fed is backed into a corner. And the question really is now is, what are they going to do and when? Because I say that too, because they can't, or they don't want to show their poker hand because it'll tank the dollar. But it seems like they're going to have to.
Yes, but there are so many things happening that are dangerous to the dollar that at some point it's going to be obvious to everybody. China just sold $53 billion in treasuries, and they've been unloading treasuries for 2 years. And either in the G7, I think it was G7 or the peace conference in Switzerland, the United States agreed to allow the EU to steal $50 billion in interest on the holdings of Russia. And candidly, that's stealing, okay? I don't care how you term it. I don't care why you term it. That's stealing. And to steal $300 billion in total, and then the interest from that to feed the military-industrial complex and the most corrupt country in Europe, Ukraine, is absolutely bizarre to me. So the United States has just said, we're going to steal from you if we can get away with it. Now, I'll give you one better, because I don't care how current you are. There are things happening that are so scary that you cannot possibly keep up. What did the Supreme Court just say about misinformation today?
I didn't read it today. Tell me.
Exactly. Okay. Supreme Court came out. They've got to finish their term by 30th. Okay. So they just came out today and said, if the government wants to censor disinformation, they can. Now, I'll ask you a simple question. I always ask simple questions. Ordinary people can answer. Who is the biggest source of disinformation in the world?
The U.S. government.
Thank you. Okay. That was so easy to say. So the government said it's okay to censor disinformation, but the beauty is, who defines disinformation? The government. Right. That's the most lying is going to say, yeah, I mean, if we don't want you telling the truth about COVID, of course we were the ones who invented COVID in the first place. Of course we've been taking patents out on it for 25 years. Of course we released it, but we don't want you telling people. And even better, it's bizarre. It doesn't make any difference how cynical I get. I just can't keep up. Julian Assange came to an agreement with the United States government that he would agree to a token guilty plea in order to get out of prison. Now, he's been in prison 12 years. And frankly, very few people in the United States spend 12 years in prison. That's a long time. And of course, his crime was to tell the truth. His crime was to be a journalist. But it gets worse. As part of the deal, he agreed to eliminate 20,000 emails from the DNC. Okay? Remember, there was a story about somebody hacked the DNC and they sent all these emails to Wikipedia. Wikipedia never released the emails, but the United States government has come to the conclusion that it's their responsibility to cover up the emails showing fraud from the DNC. And I'm going, wait a minute, what kind of universe would come up with something as corrupt as that? So it's totally crazy.
Yeah, the universe that we live in, unfortunately. So you just said you wish you could wake up, go to sleep and wake up, or I paraphrase, in 5 years. Give me 6 months. You go to sleep and towards the end of the year, what's the next black swan? Do you really see hitting here in the next 6 months?
If Israel invades Lebanon, and Hezbollah attacks Israel with 100,000 to 150,000 rockets and missiles, we will have nuclear war. Israel is begging to nuke Lebanon, and they are begging to nuke Syria, and they are begging to nuke Iran. And of course, if they do that, Egypt will come in, Turkey will come in, Russia will come in, China will come in. And I wish someone would get on the phone with Bibi and make a deal with him. And we could stop this problem in one phone call. Hello, Bibi. We're going to let you drop the first nuke, okay? But when you do, we're going to flatten Israel with the second. The strange thing is the leadership, and I use the term in the loosest form, the leadership in Israel is totally insane right now. They are threatening World War III. And they went into Lebanon in 2006. Hezbollah kicked their ass. You didn't read about it in the mainstream media in the West because nobody reported it. But Hezbollah threw Israel out of Lebanon in 2006. Now, again, a semi-trick question. Bibi Netanyahu defined the purpose of the invasion in Gaza to eliminate Hamas. Have they succeeded?
No.
Absolutely not. If you ran a campaign for recruiting Hamas, you would do it exactly the way Bibi Netanyahu just did it. And nobody wants to say this, but the turban-headed, sandal-wearing Hutus in Yemen have stopped commerce going into Israel. And the funny thing is that they attacked the USS Eisenhower. Now, I don't believe they actually hit the ship, but they fired some rockets or they fired some missiles at the Eisenhower. And the Eisenhower decided it was really time to go back to Norfolk and give the sailors some liberty.
So
how many ones do you want? We got
wars going on. To talk about, right? Well, let's go down that rabbit hole. And what I mean by that is like the stranglehold that's being put on really oil. And I mean, we could go through many directions with that. We could stay in the Middle East and just the exporting of oil. Or we could even talk about just Russia and the whole conflict with Russia, Ukraine, and the oil, if you would. The problems, supply problem there. But why isn't oil just so much higher is what confuses me with all this geopolitical conflict and instability. And even just the perception of it, even if it's true or not. Go ahead.
Here's what's really interesting. Let me give you some headlines that you should be reading. What did the president of Serbia say about war a week ago?
I didn't read it, so I don't know.
Okay. He said in the next 3 to 4 months, world war will be started. Okay. This is the president of Serbia. Now, I made the mistake of saying Serbia was not part of NATO, but it was part of the EU. It's not part of the EU. I was totally mistaken. However, he is a European leader who talks to other European leaders, and what he says, what he sees, says, there will be a nuclear war shortly. What did the, God, I can't think of what the guy's name is, the head of the UN, Guterres, okay, what did he just say about war?
I don't know.
He is absolutely terrified. We are on the verge of a worldwide catastrophe. We've got four and a half wars going on right now that nobody even knows about. We've got the obvious war with Ukraine versus Russia, and the United States just bombed a beach in Sevastopol and killed four people and wounded 100 others with cluster bomb units. And they turned around and said, well, it really wasn't us. It was really the Ukrainians. Well, I was in the military. I know how the military works. I was in combat. And that operation was designed by the United States. It was supplied by the United States. It was planned by the United States. And it was controlled by the United States, dropping the United States munitions on a beach in Russia. And that would have pissed off the Russians. And there are Russians right now,
as it should,
saying for months, okay, they keep crossing the red lines and they keep saying they want to destroy us. We need to counterattack. And they're going to at some point. So another trick question, what did the president of Poland just say at the peace conference? What did he say about the Ukraine war?
I don't know, but I go ahead.
He wants to break Russia into 200 pieces. The United States, NATO, the EU, Poland, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, everybody is sending this very clear message to Russia. We want to destroy you. Okay, next trick question. What did Russia do to the United States, the EU, NATO, Switzerland, Sweden, Germany? What'd they do? Why are we fighting Russia in the first place?
Why are we fighting Russia in the first place? Tell
what
me.
What did Russia do?
Well, they say they invaded Ukraine. That's why.
They what?
Invasion of Ukraine. That's why.
You know what R2P is?
No.
Okay. If you go back, God. This makes me feel old. If you go back 30 years, there was a conflict in Rwanda. And yep. I think the number is there were 750 tribesmen killed in a six-week period.
Yep.
And the Hutus and they had the Tutsis. And after that conflict, which was evil, the UN came out and said, we have a proposal because the world did nothing. We've got something we want to call R2P, and that is the right to protect. And when a group is targeted by another country, there is an obligation on the surrounding countries to defend the people who are being killed. And the Nazis in Ukraine killed 14,000 people long before Putin ever dreamed of invading Ukraine. And Ukraine actually had plans. They had 100,000 troops on the border, and they were going to invade Donbass on the 10th of March. Putin did not invade Ukraine. Putin, under the R2P and under the right to defend innocent people, invaded Ukraine, and he set very simple terms. Some of these things, we should look at all of these conflicts and we should ask, what are people really asking for? Now, Lavrov and Putin have been very clear. What do they want?
What did Putin want? What did he demand?
Yep.
Yeah, he wanted that
what
part of Ukraine.
What does he still want?
Pardon? He wants the part of Ukraine, the Crimean. He wants part of that part of Ukraine. What do you mean by wants? The people there want Russia, or they consider themselves Russian, right? And so he's just...
And he's made this clear, is secure borders.
Right, yes.
And he has all the right in the world to ask secure borders. 30 years ago, the United States said, we are not going to expand NATO one inch to the east. And it is in writing.
Yep.
That was 17 countries ago, okay?
Yeah.
And the ambassador, let me think who he was, the ambassador. The ambassador to either Ukraine or to Russia at the time is now the head of the CIA. And he said, that is a red line. And If you do that and you try to bring Ukraine into NATO, it will cause a war, period. Now, as head of the CIA, he's saying, war, great idea.
Great. Okay.
When I retire, I want to go to work for the military industrial complex and be a director and get paid millions of dollars a year. In 2019, the Department of Defense paid millions of dollars to the RAND Corporation to come up with a plan for getting Russia to invade Ukraine. And RAND Corporation, in simple terms, says it's real easy. All you have to do is threaten to bring Ukraine into NATO.
Yeah.
And that'll cause a civil war. And the crazy thing is, Russia didn't do anything that wasn't perfectly legal. They didn't do anything that wasn't perfectly reasonable. And if anything, they've been holding back. Quite bluntly, I would like to see them far more aggressive, because the war continuing is killing almost 2,000 Ukrainian soldiers a day. Now, because Zelensky has been given the right to steal as much as he can carry, he wants to continue the war. But it's been a devastating war for Ukraine. And of course, BlackRock and all the hedge funds who bought up Ukraine before the war, they're all pissed off because they're afraid they're not going to get their land. But that was a civil war. It was a war the United States has no interest in. It's a war that NATO has no interest in. For it to continue is totally insane. But sometimes, and if you ask the right question, it's very illuminating. What does Hezbollah want?
Tell me.
They want Israel to stop genocide in Gaza. And that's simple. They said, look, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is evil. What you're doing is illegal. And we want you to stop. So let's go to Yemen. Okay. What do the Yemen tribesmen, what do they want?
Same thing, or they don't want the
same
U.S.
Same thing. Okay. Want you to stop this stupid war. And
right.
It's enough. The answer is quite simple. Stop the stupid war.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I fear greatly going into World War III. I was a pilot, but I would say military intelligence officer too. And there's two things that you're concerned with in intelligence work. And what is the capability of the enemy? And the other is, what are the intentions of the enemy? And quite bluntly, it's very hard to see what the intentions of Israel are, because the whole thing looks a lot more like keeping Bibi out of jail than anything else. And within Israel, there's a lot of people in a lot of newspapers who agree with me. This has nothing to do with Hamas, has nothing to do with October 7th. This has to do with keeping Bibi Netanyahu in power so he doesn't go to jail.
Yeah, that's the way it always is. You know, I mean, with these people in power, it's to keep them out of trouble. They'll start a war just to divert or whatever. Or into enrich themselves.
Hey, hang on.
No problem.
I said 4.5 wars. So let's count them. We've got Ukraine. We've got Lebanon. We've got Gaza. We've got Yemen. Okay. But I said 4.5. Where's the other? Where's that half war?
I would say China and Taiwan.
Bingo.
And applause from the great Bob.
And
I was going to ask you about a real war,
kind of a fake war. And the bizarre thing is, I read something over the weekend that said how China could conquer Taiwan without firing a shot. And I read it and said, this is really scary, because it's so easy that it almost certainly is going to happen. And the way to do it would be to blockade Taiwan.
Yeah, just put a bunch of ships, right?
Around. Yeah, and tell them, okay, you got closed airspace. We're not going to allow aircraft in or out, and we're not going to allow ships in or out. And if they did that, I'm not going to tell you it's legal to do. The problem with that, of course, is Taiwan is part of China. And the United States policy is that Taiwan is part of China. And I think that if they convince the government in Taiwan, you've got two alternatives, and one's really bad and one's not so bad. Which one do you want to go for? I think they would do that. To risk World War III over Taiwan is simply absurd. And we keep spitting in the face of China. And I think that's so totally insane. One of the things about war that nobody understands is that sometimes the weapons you've got are totally ineffective against your target because of the size of the target. Now, Gaza is tiny, and Israel has been pounding it since October. And the fact is, there's still some buildings standing. Okay. When you've got really big countries like Iran, which has a lot of space, and certainly China, which has a lot of space, there's no effective weapons that you can do that can really harm them. You can kill a lot of people. And the mistake that most people make is that killing people has something to do with winning wars. Who won the Vietnam War?
We didn't, that's for sure.
Okay, we killed 2 to 3 million Vietnamese, and there were actually more people killed in Cambodia, okay, than in Vietnam because of the actions of the United States. But there were 4 or 5 or 6 million people who died, who were the bad guys, and we had 58,000 Americans die. We didn't win. We absolutely didn't win. You actually made a good point by accident. Who wins any war?
No one wins.
No way. Okay. If the Vietnamese lost 2 to 3 million people, how can you say they won? And I have been back to Vietnam twice since then, and the dirty, rotten commies that we hated so much 55 years ago are running the country now and managing the country, and they're no more screwed up than we are. And they happen to be some of the most gracious people. You don't see weapons, you don't see prostitution, you don't see drugs, and it's a wonderful, wonderful country. And the dirty, rotten commies are running it. If you go back to 68 or 69 or 70, when the United States was effectively running drugs everywhere, crime everywhere, prostitution everywhere, and destitution everywhere. So the United States may have lost the war, but since then, Vietnam has really come back, and Vietnam has been a great ally to the United States. That's another war that we got involved in that we should have never touched.
There's a common thread here. It's just how terrible war is, and how we're involved in all the misery. When I say we, the U.S. or the U.S. government, out of all of these wars that we talked about, and none of it, all of it's terrifying. I want to make that very clear. But what's probably the most confusing to me, from a strategic standpoint, and again, all of that strategically makes, I don't get it. It's just feeding the war machine, the industrial military complex, as you put it. But the one war that doesn't make sense strategically is China and Taiwan. That makes like zero sense economically for us. I mean, we're going to go piss off a country that holds, is the largest bondholder of U.S. debt.
No, that's Pam.
Okay, Japan, and then the second largest debt holder. And then they also, all of our semiconductors are made over there, all of our computers made over there. How does that make any sense? And yet we're stirring up a fight over there.
It doesn't make any sense. The United States has somehow come to the conclusion that putting sanctions on countries who don't obey you is an effective weapon. And I would think after the total failure of the sanctions on Russia, that the United States would cut that stupid stuff out. But the head of the Fed went to China and said, we're going to put sanctions on you for supporting Russia. And I'm thinking, that's really bizarre. This is the United States' biggest trading partner. How is that not going to hurt us? But it's in the empire. Every empire gets
That's
80
exactly
years.
It. That's exactly
yeah,
it.
As the world's reserve currency. When you look at the people at the top, you just have to look at them and say, these people are all idiots. They're brain dead. They're hiring people on their sexual preference or their color or their stupidity. Okay.
The last one is stupid.
Yeah. We don't have any competent leaderships. And that's true of both the Republicans and the Democrats. Yeah. And I've always had faith in the Supreme Court right up until today when they said censorship is okay when the government did it. I'm going, wait a minute. Did these fucking idiots never read the Constitution? It's right there in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. It's in the empire. The United States is not going to go gently, but it is going to go. And there's so much stuff that we're doing that's self-destructive. It's suicide. Okay. And I would hope that there would be some kind of leadership, quite bluntly, when the banks go, and we know they're going to go, we're going to have problems. There's a number of people, including Ray Dalio, who is very concerned about a U.S. civil war. And I think there's a very real chance of that. I mean, we haven't even talked about the biggest black swan up there, the one that lets these quarter-pound turds out. What's the biggest black swan this year?
I was going to say war. After that, I would say the banks.
Election.
Election, yeah. There you go. I would agree.
You know, we are in
Civil War.
Yeah. We're never land. We've got a convicted felon on one side. We've got a doddering old man who belongs at a funny farm on the other side, and you can't bring charges against him because he's too senile to understand what the charges are. And if they go, wait a minute, they're going to have a debate? I mean, why don't they bring on somebody real? Like, none of the above. They brought in none of the above and win in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. Well, I got to wrap this up, but I wanted to talk briefly. And this is almost a rhetorical question to you. Yeah. What does this mean for natural resources? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do want your thoughts. It seems like countries, I mean, it's getting smaller, if you would, and countries are going to be competing for natural resources. What's your thoughts on that?
We are in a conflict between the debt-based system of the West and the resource-based system of the East and the South and the BRICS. Paper assets are about to go back to their real value. Okay, I think paper. The paper dumpling is 30 or 32% of the U.S. economy. And frankly, shuffling pieces of paper adds nothing to any economy. We need to go back to a real economy based on real production and real value. And we're going to, okay? But right now, given the choice between holding shares in a resource company or holding a T-bill, it's like no question at all. You could sniff the T-bill and realize somebody used it as toilet paper. Resources are important. And we need resources, and we don't need T-bills. I'll give you a number. It's really scary. You're going to enjoy this.
Please.
How's your math?
Poor, but give it to me anyways.
Okay. We are about 34 trillion and death in the United States. And we have a nice number. We have about 340 million Americans. How much debt is there per American?
I don't know. But tell me.
Well, if you put the numbers up, because you got 34 on the top and 34 on the bottom, all you have to do is rid of zero. We got $1 million in debt per American.
I am screwed.
So, actually, I was talking to the head of the Treasury today, and he knew I was going to talk to you, and he wants your check for $1 million tomorrow.
Come and get it, man.
Good luck.
All right, I'm going to go move to where you're at. Well, Bob, I want to just thank you. You've always been so kind and gracious to me. As we've talked a little bit offline, I've been following you and an admirer for over 20 years. I just want to thank you for your time. And I just love our talks. And I can't wait till the next time I have you on.
Well, I'm quite quotable. Okay. But we are at a very serious time in world history. And it's a time where people need to educate themselves, and they need to communicate, and they need to talk to who represents them and says, look, you guys need to sober up. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I would still like to take one of those magic sleeping pills and wake up at least now.
Me too. Me too. Bob, always a pleasure. We'll see you again soon. All right.
Super deal. Thanks, Andy.
Right, me too. Bye-bye.